that he was born so that we could be reborn, right? Why did he come? What was his purpose? Why did God the Father send Jesus to the earth? It was so he could redeem us. It could take us out of darkness into the marvelous. He created us in his image. He loved us so much that he didn't want our creation, us, his best work ever, to be eternally separated from him, right? So the purpose for why Jesus was born was so that we could be rebirthed and reborn. So we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and my message next week will be along those lines. But this week, leading up to that, I want to remind us of a very important aspect of why Jesus even came. And that is so that we could be reborn, that we could become a light, that we could become representatives of heaven on earth to win souls back to the kingdom that the devil had won over, right? Born into sin, and we're redeemed through Jesus Christ. So the function of the church is for not us to be entertained or spectators of an institution that has been brought forth to just feed you and give you more and more knowledge to get us built up so that we're going to ready to explode. But I want us to be reminded that at our rebirth, we've been given this Holy Spirit, that all of you are good, spiritual, wonderful gifts of God that need to participate in church, singing together, bringing forth psalms and hymns, laying hands on one another, praying for one another, being involved. I believe with all of my heart that this is the purpose and the reason for the church, not for us to just get filled ourselves and come in and just, Jesus died so that your gift would come alive. That's what we're going to talk about today. And I pray that you will just sit back and receive that so that, again, you become not just a dim light, but a bright light to a lost and dying world. Amen. Father, in and of myself, I cannot bring forth any message, but God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you can bring the word alive. And I pray that through the scriptures and, Father, through the wisdom that may come through this message, Lord, that we would obtain not just a knowledge, but an active working of the Holy Spirit in our lives to be a part of the kingdom of heaven on earth, to be part of the church of Jesus Christ. For it's in his precious name that I pray. Amen. Let's read Luke chapter 1. Can you bring the lights up a little bit there, Eric? Luke, do I have keys? Yeah, sorry. My wife is keeping me in order. I will jingle while I preach if I don't. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 35. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you. That had to be a little bit of a shock. But she was very perplexed at this statement, and she kept pondering, what kind of salutation, what kind of greeting was this? The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Mary said to this angel, how can this be, since I am a virgin? The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, just as he does all of us, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the holy child, this set-apart child, shall be called the Son of God. Folks, do you understand that those scriptures apply to you as a son of the Most High God and daughter of the Most High God, rebirthed through the birth and the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? The scripture should come alive to you as the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you as well. The omnipotent Spirit of God, who is larger than the universe and sustains the world with his word, chose to become a baby, chose to become embryonic, if you will, breakable, pierceable, and dependent upon a young teenage virgin. Think about it. The supernatural invaded the natural. God. I'm sorry. God came to earth. And he came upon a young teenage virgin. An angel appears then, right? And announces to Mary her role in ministry. You've got to relate to this. This is not just a story that we want to read at Christmas time and go, woo, way, great, God sent his son, now we're saved, and we're just waiting. We're waiting for the boat or whatever, whatever mode of transportation we're going by, the angels. God was announcing to Mary, you have a role to play. You're going to partner with me in this thing called salvation, healing, and deliverance. Here's your role in ministry. I have an angel on my behalf. I'm not speaking to you, but my angel is going to tell you your role. Hence for the gifts in the church of why we have apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to convey God's word through these angels, if you will. There's angelic visions, but there's also plain and simple people representing God giving you a message of your role in ministry. But here's an angel giving Mary her role. It doesn't get any clearer than that. We get a little muddied up because we don't trust people, and rightly so. But when the people are functioning under the anointing and you know that they are, we need to receive God's word as God's word, as God's will. And it will always agree with the written word. That's how you measure it. That's why you look at a prophet or an evangelist, pastor, or teacher, and you judge it. We're told to judge it according to the word. And so Mary, again, very clear that the angel spoke this. Talk about wanting to know God's will for your life. Think about it. It doesn't get any clearer than an angel standing before you, thus saith the Lord. Yet Mary was troubled and wondered, how could she possibly fulfill this ministry? Again, relating to us, because we've got to get something from this. It's not just Mary here. She's representative. How could I possibly fulfill the ministry God's called me to? But then you might say, how could Mary question God after this angelic experience? How could she possibly do that? We get a little judgmental now, right? How could Moses question God after literally talking with God directly? How could the Israelites question God after the sea parts, the heavens open, and their enemies are scattered? Come on, you've all read the stories. You've also thought, how could they do that? We do it every day. We question God and the miracles that happen throughout our lives. There's a miracle sitting back there in that back row. You always have to remember that. You always have to cling to that, that you're just in God's grip. And he'll never let you go. But we experience these miracles, and then we just kind of get a little complacent again, and we fall back into our own human strength and wisdom and understanding and forget that the supernatural invaded the natural. And it can happen at any moment, at any time, like it did with Mary. And it can be an angel, or it can be a prophet, or an evangelist, pastor, or teacher in your life telling you your role in ministry. And you go, there's no way I can do this. God, how can I do that? I'm a virgin. I know nothing. Hogan's Heroes. Remember the old German guy? I know nothing. That's dating back. Well, what's the answer to this questioning? How could Mary doubt after an angel speaks to her? Same way we deliberate over our conversations with God or his representatives. We resort to reason, or I call it natural intellect. It's always our first response because that's who we are, who we think we are. Mary finally gets spiritual and yields. After the angel tells her it won't have anything to do with you or your own ability. Realizing he's talking about God here, where the impossible becomes routine, right? Mary finally gets it when she realizes, wait, I have nothing to do with this role in ministry. I'm just a vehicle. I'm just a vessel. I'm just a tool in God's hands. I'm just his spokesperson, maybe. Or maybe you're his little helper that sweeps out the church. Or maybe you're into government and administrations, and you're very, very reasonable, and God uses those reason that you have because he knows that if I get a little spiritual and have him lay hands on the sick and recover, you'll doubt your own hands. He knows what you can handle and what you can't handle, what gifts you can handle and what you can't. If you can get a little charismatic, if you can dance, if you can clap, if you can sing, if you can lay prostrate. We all need God's children. We all worship in different ways, but let's not judge each other when the impossible invades the natural. It's who God is. We live in the natural world. He's in the supernatural world, and He's put His Spirit upon us, so we now have been rebirthed into the possibility that all things are possible with God. Amen. Luke 1:37. He's telling Mary, who's going, there's no way I can fulfill my role in ministry. Nothing will be impossible with God. It's not going to have anything to do with you. You just yield. Become available. Don't be judgmental. Just let God work. Judge it after the fact. If somebody falls down in the spirit and you're going, oh, that was charismatic, that had to be them in the flesh, judge it by when he gets up off the floor, whether they're changed or not. Right. What did God do? And if all he did was knock somebody down and get them back up and they come up every week for ministry and stuff like that, they're probably in the flesh. But come on, give us a break for those of us that are in leadership. We have to be able to judge those things. We don't want to eliminate the impossible because we want to stand in reason and logic. I'm not Greek, and I don't want to become like the Greeks that base it all on philosophy and the programs of men. I want to be available to God to do anything at any time, to walk into a hospital, to lay hands on the sick, to be available to do whatever God calls me to do. Because it's not me, and it wasn't Mary. Mary couldn't birth the Son of God. She was as full of sin as we are when we're born into this world. Come on. You're only made sinless through the blood of Jesus Christ. I don't want to get Catholic here, but, you know, we don't reverence Mary. We don't pray to Mary. Mary was just like you and me. So was Joseph. So was Peter and Paul and Mary and the singers and all these guys, right? Seriously. Sometimes we kind of, you know, we want to put these saints up on a pedestal when, you know what? We're all God's kids and we're all capable of the same ministry as the rest of them, just in different arenas maybe, as the Holy Spirit chooses, right? So can you handle this kind of faith in His Word, like Mary, after a little convincing, right? And be willing to be used? Because that's what I'm asking here. Are you willing to be used? Remember that the Holy Spirit, and this is kind of cool, the Holy Spirit came upon Mary after her willingness to receive. For us, today, 2016, listen, it is being filled for empowerment. The Holy Spirit coming upon us for our role in ministry, if you will, which obviously if it's the Holy Spirit, there's going to be power involved. It's not going to be just the persuasiveness of my words. It's going to be in demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit. For why would someone want to come to Christianity? Why wouldn't they go to Mormonism or the Jehovah's Witnesses or whatever if there's no backing up of what we claim to be? Yes. If we're just coming into church and doing the dance and there's no power, then why not believe some other? Come on. What backed Jesus up with his words was the fact that he laid hands on everybody who came up to him and such. And he laid hands and he delivered anybody who asked. The reason we don't see it like Jesus did, because remember I said at the beginning, he had the fullness of the Father in him. We need each other in order for that stuff to start happening. That's why we have to have unity amongst our churches. Because we need all the gifts. And when all the gifts come together, think about what's available. The wisdom that some have over others. The gift of healing that some have over others as the Holy Spirit chooses. The more we gather together, the more unity there is, the more possibilities there are. Yes. You in and of yourself are not going to do much good to somebody if you don't have the gift they need at the time. Anybody getting this? Okay. But it will not be filled. The Bible says the baptism of the Spirit comes when we're immersed in Him. That means when you ask Jesus into your heart, Jesus promised to send you the Holy Spirit. You get 100% of Him, not 10%. The more reason you may only see 10% of the Spirit is because you're young and you're a babe in Christ. But the more you yield to the Spirit and the more you yield to His power, the more you're filled, the more that God is now working from the inside out. So more of the Holy Spirit is coming out of you, but 100% of Him is in you. Do you get that? You can't get more of God than you already have, but you can release more as you yield, as Mary yielded and said, be it done according to your word, O Lord. Well, you need to be sitting there saying, whatever ministry you call me to, be it done according to your word. But I don't know how I'm going to get that done. I don't have the money, the resources. I don't have the ability to pray over somebody. I don't have this or that. Well, you just yield and you let God do the talking and walking. Amen. He will. He really will. But yet, again, Note that God's plan was in place before Mary's acceptance. Here's the sovereignty of God. He knows you better than you know you. Come on. But he has given you free will. And if he's called you to a ministry and you reject it, he'll have to find someone else. But he knows, because God is outside of time. So there's the sovereignty of God. But you don't know. He knows, but you don't. Therefore, you just need to yield. You need to receive. You need to say, yes, Lord, yes. It's not enough to sit here and sing, yes, Lord, yes, and we sing that in songs all the time. Yes, Lord, yes, here I am. Use me. Send me. I want to be like Isaiah. I can't do this in my own strength. People are going to laugh at me. They're going to say I'm some charismatic Pentecostal fool if I do stuff and it doesn't happen. See, we have to back up what we say. If healing's still for today, then by God, no pun intended, the people you're laying hands on ought to get healed. If tongues are still for today, then that tongue message should edify God in the midst of you, and there should be an interpretation so we know that God is being edified and not just some fool out there speaking off stuff that we don't know about. There's order in God's church, but for goodness sake, let's not quench the Spirit. Yes. Let's not say it's not available anymore. Died with the apostles. Well, no, because Jesus rose again. And he lives and he moves and he has his being in the body of Christ and in the giftings of Christ. And you're it. I hate to say it, but tag, you're it. I'm not it. I'm just one representative gift here today. You are the gifts. And you are the gifts that you need to open this Christmas. That's the message today. You need to open this gift first. You. You're the best gift you can give to your family. You're the best reason and understanding and wisdom that you can give to your family, because you're a miracle of God. The Holy Spirit, God said, listen, he knew before Mary's acceptance. God said, you will conceive. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. It hadn't happened yet. Just like the disciples in the upper room were told to wait. What if they left? What if Mary said no? God forbid. Mary said, be it done according to your word. God knows you. Don't delay. I'm saying walk by faith. So here's a question. Have you waited on God this season and said, your will be done, not mine? Have you waited on God and said, I don't understand what's going on, God. I don't understand the reason behind what's going on. Nevertheless, as Jesus prayed in the garden, I don't really want to go do what I'm about to do because my flesh is crawling. I'm hurting. Believe, he was in pain. He took it all. He had the sin of the world on his shoulders. I don't want this, but your will be done. If it can be taken away from me, God, your will be done. Have you done that? Yourself. It wasn't just Jesus' role, it's your role, because you're a son of the Most High. Luke 2, 1-5. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Wow. This was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everybody was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, the house of bread, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. So let's say they traveled to this place that God orchestrated and ordained, that you meet with God in your quiet time. Or prophetically, like someone comes up and gives you a word. I walk up to my brother and say, you know what, I was thinking about you and God dropped in my spirit and he told me, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I was praying, I was thinking about you, and God just said, tell Ed. I was listening to a song on the way in the car, and it just happened to be right according to what I was just praying about. A donkey was walking down the road, and all of a sudden it rammed me into a wall. God can use music, he can use people, he can use a donkey, he can use anything he wants to communicate with you. You just have to recognize it as God's word to you. And it will line up with what he's already spoken to you, what you're sensing in your heart, or his word. And when it's the impossible, And that doesn't jive with you, but you know you heard it, and you know it was from God, yet it makes you crawl because there's no way, like Mary says, I can do this. Folks, that's where your Christianity is made. Where you decide that God is bigger and better than all things that are possible in your life, and you're going to yield to it, and He's going to make more of you than you could have ever made on your own with your own little kingdom. Because you don't serve your kingdom, you serve His. So you meet with Him in your quiet time. You receive a word that requires you to step out into the deep water. You're feeling really spiritual, haven't eaten your Wheaties, right? And you respond like the song says, yes, Lord, yes. You're like Isaiah, here I am, Lord, send me. Why not? You're expecting the birth of this tremendous ministry just like you would the arrival of a newborn baby. And it hits. The snowstorm of all snowstorms, like Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Remember that? And it hits. The snowstorm of all snowstorms. Christmas is called off. I'm not going anywhere near that ministry, Lord. I can't do that. Are you kidding me? How could I break through such a snowstorm, such trial, such tribulation, the circumstances that are surrounding my life? I can't get out of that bed. I'm dying. The doctor said there's no hope. Oh, there's always hope. Trial, tribulation, doubt, unbelief, whatever. So you think Mary was expecting what happened next? Come on, you know when the trial and tribulation comes, when you're just told you're going to birth the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, His kingdom shall have no end. Boom, it's a manger, and we're with stinky animals, and it's raining, and nobody, there's no room for the inn. We've run a long journey. I'm forced to give birth in this smelly old stinky stable. You think Mary knew God's whole plan from beginning to end? Trial, tribulation, doubt, unbelief, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, eternal. The government shall rest on His shoulders. We can't even get out of a stable and get a room. I'm sure Satan was whispering a few words to Mary like, do you really think this is fitting for a king? Did God really say, where have you heard that before? Remember to Jesus in the wilderness? Did God really say you were going to birth His Son through you? He was going to birth His Son through you? Look at you. Look at your accommodations. Stare at your circumstances. They indicate otherwise. Come on, folks. This ought to be getting you to the edge of your seat right now. What about your ministry, Christian? What has God spoken to you? Are you judging it by its humble beginnings or lack of evidence? Think twice. Think of baby Jesus. Luke 2, 6 through 18. Listen to this. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Woo! Getting ready to hit the Pentecostal charismatic church now. Right? And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. That's not possible. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Don't be afraid of the gifts operating in the body. Judge them. Make sure they're right. Make sure that people aren't getting a little fruity and out there and being real ridiculous. Have the right leadership in place to be able to do that and help you, right? But don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people, not just the Protestants or the Catholics or the... For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You're going to find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host. Can you imagine going to church and seeing that? Oh well. Praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men in whom He is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Oh yeah, you're going to attract some people when things of the charismatic nature begin going on. And it's valid. People will flock, no pun intended. They will flock to where the anointing is. They will flock to where healing's taking place. They will flock to the signs that follow, the wonders that follow the actual word of God. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby is laying in the manger. When they had seen it, they made known the statement which has been told them about this child. Revelation knowledge. And all who heard it wondered at the things, oh my gosh, which were told to them by the shepherds. They wondered. See, when you can't put your own physical eyes on it, you're not going to believe it. You're going to be like Thomas. Oh, I know that you say he's risen because of what you testified to, but unless I put my finger and my hand in that hole, I go, oh my gosh, God, you're my Lord and my Savior. I'm sorry for thinking that way. One vision. Why are we so resistant to what God can do, having come through the wall, no longer in his physical body, but in his glorified body, transcending three-dimensional world into 10, 12 dimensions, is able to sit there and say, Thomas, stop doubting. With all things are possible with my Father. I've prepared a place for you. Will you just operate the way I've taught you to operate, not the way men have taught you, but what I've given you over these last 3.5 years. You saw me, you touched me, you saw my ministry, you know where I am now. I breathe on my disciples, and they go out, and Peter's completely changed. Totally 100% gone from coward to bold. How did that happen? With one breath of his word. These shepherds had a charismatic experience. Angels, heavenly hosts, signs, word of knowledge. Come on. That was all operating right there in front of the shepherds. So don't feel bad if you got a little problem with it too. Luke 2:18. They all wondered at what occurred. And that's what happens when you sit sometimes and you've been brought up in tradition and you've been brought up. And I was raised Lutheran my whole life. I mean, we were in the Church of God, charismatic. We went back to Christian Missionary Alliance. I mean, I think I've tasted of every denomination because I was trying to find where it just went by this. And not by our own ideas of what it should be like. And so they wondered at what occurred. Yet despite our frail, feeble-minded little selves and what appeals to us and where we feel most comfortable, sometimes God wants you in your most uncomfortable place you've ever been in. In order to grow you and purge you and build up and get you as refined like gold. So you come out of that cocoon that you were in, you're opened up to new truth. It's the old truth, but it's new truth to you. And you're more available, you're more joyous, you're more celebratory, you're more open to the gifts, and you can be used by God like never before. You're not just a spectator, but you're a participator. Little old me, little old Mary in a stable, smelling like a, come on. You don't have anything, you don't fit some scenario. God's not taking the really well-versed in Scripture guys and making them prophets, priests, and kings. Think about it. The Pharisees and Sadducees were the most qualified to teach and preach, and yet he chose fishermen. Yes. Because they were willing to yield and believe and receive. Luke 2:19 and 20. We'll wind this down here. But Mary treasured all these things. In other words, you know what? I'm a little uncomfortable in this church. I see some things going on. We better head for the door, honey, because it's looking a little bit crazy. I was that person. Come on. I sat there and said, honey, as soon as it's offering time, and we've watched it in this church happen a lot, out those doors we go, and certainly out those doors we were. But we went to the next church, and as sure as I was sitting in that church, God said, get thee hence back to that church you came from. The problem's not with them, it's with you. I'll never forget that. I've not heard from God a lot directly, but I knew that was in my spirit, is that you are in the wrong place. Get back to where it came from. You're just not familiar with those things. You're young, boy. But here's where it was. You have to be willing to sit there and not just accept things blindly. My gosh, I don't do that. I'm not stupid. Well, I'm not. Mary treasured all these things. In other words, she pondered it and said, okay, there's some supernatural things going on here. I'm pregnant. Joseph hasn't touched me. I saw an angel. The word came forth. I'm gonna keep this in my heart. I'm going to just think about this because at some point in time, God's going to get me there. I'm not there yet. The shepherds went back. glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and see, just as been told them. See, they didn't believe right away. Mary had to treasure. They had to treasure. But when they literally saw the Christ child and kings come with gold and frankincense and myrrh, they went back charismatics. Woo! They were dancing like probably David danced down the middle of the street with his wife going, "You, that's unbecoming. You're the king." And he said, "I really," and in my Scott Mills paraphrase, "I don't really give a rip what you think. I'm praising God Almighty. I'll take my kingly garb off. I'll dance down the middle of the street and not worry about what you think. Joy, unspeakable joy is overflowing in my heart. I don't give a rip of who thinks to my left and right I'm charismatic or not." When the real joy of the Lord comes in your heart, you can do that in church, folks. You have permission. Why? Because you can go to a football game and watch an idiot take his shirt off in a 0-degree weather and shout, "Go Raiders!" And yet you'll look at that and go, "Oh, yeah, he's just having a good time." But if it happened in church, oh, goodness gracious. I'm not advocating you take your shirt off and jump up front here and say, "Go God." But I am saying allow yourself to have a little joy. Yes. Clap your hands. Dance if you must. And I'm sad to say if you must. You dance around the house. You sing to yourself around the house. You got to learn to treasure these kinds of ministry experiences rather than criticize them. We should be glorifying and praising God for what we get to see and participate in. After all, the God of what we think is impossible, His seed comes upon us at salvation. The seed came into Mary, but if you think about it, God's seed comes upon you when you accept Him into your heart. The Word, the seed, comes in your heart. He comes alive. All things are now possible. If you will yield, the giftings of God can do what you could never do with logic and reason and daily human experience. This Christmas season, come on, it's not just the birth of Jesus. Let it be your rebirth. Let it be a faith that wells up in you that can climb mountains and leap over. I think that's where David, when he was writing, "I could leap over a wall." It was metaphorical, but what he was saying, with God, all things are possible. So have you given birth to the various giftings of the Holy Spirit that were conceived at your rebirth when you got saved? Or are you still in labor, moaning and groaning, the birthing of your giftings long overdue, right? Here's a question for you. Is it time for this church to help you induce labor and bring your giftings forth? Forceps? Do we need to use forceps? I got to pull you out of your seat and say, "Get up here and give a word." I don't have to that man. When he gets the word, he comes on up. But some of you out there, you're being stirred in your heart and you're supposed to come up to the mic and share what God's given you and stuff like that. And you're moaning and groaning and you need forceps to come in there and pull you up here and get you by the hand and say, "Come on, you can do this. Come on, we do." But boy, once you've done it and once you've exercised it and you saw what God could do that you couldn't do and stuff like that, there's nothing like it. Folks, be like Mary and be willing to be used of God. Certainly celebrate Jesus' birth this Christmas, and we'll talk about that next week, but also let it serve to be a reminder to enter into your own rebirthing of Almighty God's gifting through you. I'm sure Mary had a few questions as to how her baby, was going to walk on water, give sight to the blind, calm a storm, and bring the Father's message of salvation to the world. She must have treasured and pondered that deeply. So don't you doubt that God can take spiritual babies like us and do exceedingly abundantly beyond all we could ask or think. Last scripture. Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him, you don't share it and He'll share it with no one, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, to all generations forever and ever. Amen.